I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Welcome, Sukaran. Thank you for coming to Tell Me About It. I'm going to introduce you in very glowing terms now. So the whole idea is to talk about you guys in a way that kind of builds you up so that then we'll have fun later.
That sounds so dangerous, but sure. Okay, let's go with
that. So first of all, this is episode 13. I didn't think that we are going to last this long, but we've been really getting a lot of interesting people. And we started in the lockdown doing this, and we kind of started understanding that this is a fantastic way of learning for a lot of people. Because when we are getting industry experts and when we are getting them to talk about a topic rather than anything else and just get deep dive into that topic, it becomes fun. I mean, of course, you can go here and there a little, but the whole idea should be to, you know, have a deeper understanding and learning about the topic. So let's talk about Sukaran first. Sukaran, I met when he was trying to jog in Mica. He was jogging very, very slowly. But it was fun to watch. Then I realized that, you know, behind that jogging person is also a friend of mine. So I thought that he is a welcome addition to the faculty at Mica. He's an adjunct professor, which is fantastic. Welcome, Sukaran, to Mica. So that was great. Sukaran also is a Mican, and he has many other Mican connections, which I will not get into for the paucity of time. But what we shall do is we shall look into what Sukaran has done. So after working in the corporate world, and you guys can go to his LinkedIn profile. I'm going to talk about the main thing, right? So he shifted from the corporate world to starting his own startup. And what's it called, Sukaran?
It's called ICE Studios, yes.
Interesting, ICE. Okay, yeah. So ICE it is. And for somebody who's worked with, you know, something like Wills and moving to ICE is interesting, and we will talk a little bit about your journey. But he's done a startup. He's also a director in a fancy hotel chain somewhere up in the Himalayas, where he's speaking from. So I'm extremely jealous, right?
You're very welcome here, Siddharth. So that's the plan too. By the end of this, I'm hoping you're gonna pop out and come here.
Well, anyway, Sukaran, welcome to the show. And Akash, fantastic man. I mean, I saw your LinkedIn profile and I got, you know, I have always wanted to meet one of those growth hackers in real life. Well, I'm not meeting anyone in real life, but at least virtual life mein toh mil gaya yaar. So the whole thing is that, you know, what I find really interesting about your profile is that you are a growth hacker, certainly. And one of the few people that can legit actually say that they are a growth hacker. So that's great. And you're somebody who's also in the world of media, and you've been in an agency and media. So that is a very combination, because when you're, you know, looking at terms like acquisition and stuff like that, you've not only acquired customers, you've acquired users as well, and so on and so forth. So it will be really interesting to talk to you about your journey, Akash, and understand, you know, how you come to land on this side of the fence, really, in the sense of a media person.
Yeah. Sure.
So, welcome to the show. And
Thank you so much.
Having this conversation, I'm going to shut up after just introducing the topic. After that, it's just you guys, man. So my job is damn easy. So here we go. The topic is growth hacking. Now, the reason why I've called both of you guys is actually you're kind of diametrically opposite to each other. Now, if you look at Akash, you are certainly somebody who is the quintessential growth hacker. And if you look at Sukaran, he comes from a branding, you know, semiotics, cultural background, which comes from, you know, a very different perspective. So I thought that we might actually end up having a very nuanced and detailed discussion on the topic of growth hacking and how do you guys see it growing. And it's quite possible that, you know, you might agree to disagree on certain topics or certain subtopics, or you might actually add value to each other's points. So I'm looking forward to a lot of that happening. Right. Mm-hmm. I also have a bunch of notes which I frighten my potential guests with and start, you know, asking questions from the notes and start ticking it off. But let me start this topic by asking Akash this question. Like, how do people look at you, man? When they say, oh, this guy is a growth hacker, how do people actually look at you?
So
there must be some strange look. It's like, oh, this guy can perform magic or voodoo or something like
that. Definitely not nerdy. Yeah. But something that I really, plan to change in a conversation is by converting statements to facts. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, if there's a brand getting launched tomorrow in, say, the HSM market of mm-hmm. India, this is a statement. A brand launching with the potential to maybe do 30% better in the HSM market compared to the other market and the APAC region. This becomes a fact. So converting statements using facts and figures and past learnings and data to curate brand journeys is something what people look for when they talk to me. Mm. Or when I initiate a conversation, or if we are speaking of a brand launch or a specific vertical in the market, this is what I bring in front of them. This is what I bring to the plate.
So when you're bringing this to the plate, sorry, I'm going to push you a little more on that.
Sure.
So when you're bringing this to the plate, do they look at you as, sala, ye to numbers laga?
Right. So the end of the day, everybody needs this. Now, over the period of for the past couple of years, in fact, even right now, we have had different setups. Mm-hmm. We have one setup which looks after the brand, which looks after the quality of the brand, how the brand is positioned in a consumer's mind. Mm-hmm. And this other part, which goes parallel to it, ensures that anybody who converts as a user comes with a very long lifetime value. So if I'm spending $100 to acquire a consumer, and if he's dropping off in, say, about a week and going to some other platform, it's just a losing situation for me. If I acquire a consumer who for whom I spent maybe $200, mm-hmm. Twice than what I spent for the consumer I spent earlier, but he stays with me for, say, about the next 10 years, and he's going to give me a lot of revenue. So this is what we as marketers are looking at. And this is what I looked at for my brands when I was working for an agency.
That's interesting. And you kind of he's doing preemptive strikes, Sukaran. So he knew I was going to ask him about, okay.
I saw that, yeah. What was interesting to me, and I hope you're going to pick him on that, is that I love that he's calling himself a marketeer, not a growth hacker. And I have a feeling, is there a note in your diary there? But
trust me, it's all going in there. It's all going in there. But coming back, Sukaran now, okay? Yeah. Sukaran, now, you've heard what Akash is saying. So what I wanted you to do is give me a different perspective from your, you know, own point of view about growth hacking and what it means to you as a somebody who's like coming in from a complete left field, right? You're not perhaps going to look at the definition that Akash used about growth hacking, which is about, you know, looking at maybe facts and evidence, converting everything into evidence. How do you see it?
So, to be very, very honest, the first time I encountered the term, and the term is just 5 years old in itself. So the first time I heard of it, I was like, wow, I really don't know what's happening around us, right? Like, what is this new thing, growth hacking? Because just like there are so many HBR Ascend Select members on LinkedIn now, there's so many people who write growth hacking, and it's a very new term in that sense. In my understanding of it has always been that, and of course Akash can probably correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding is it's somebody who is driven by growth and pushing the organization ahead in terms of acquiring the right amount of base or growing that base and doing that without having to resort to, you know, burning a massive hole in the bank. The whole idea of, you know, resort to creativity, resort to low cost ideas, resort to virality, word of mouth, stuff like that to kind of accelerate the acquisition of the organization. That is how I look at growth hacking. So,
interesting. By the way, growth hacking started in 2010. So it's like 2020, man. So it's like 10 years. Yeah, 10 years.
Maybe it's the term, Siddharth, what I feel has been curated right now.
Mm.
I was like a couple of months back, I came across this article. In 1950, I think, McDonald's came up with a strategy that they should have their hoardings on all the freeways, on the exits of the freeways. Now, understanding that there's going to be a lot of traffic which is going to stop there and look at their hoarding, I think it's growth hacking.
Yeah.
Not necessarily it has to be on the computer, but you understand traffic, you utilize it to your advantage, that's growth hacking.
So, okay. This was not on the list, but I'm going to ask you. Do you think it's just a cool term? And actually, this is just part of normal marketing strategy? Because if you say yes, we will go down one route. If you say no.
Sure. Personally, I feel there have been a lot of changes happening around us. A couple of years back, if you just meet a couple of people who are currently part of maybe India's top brands, they had teams of maybe 4 to 5 people. That's it. The same person would look after acquisition, analytics, data, everything. Today, we have a extremely diversified variety of marketing around us. App tracking, consumer growth, acquisition, retention, multiple types of retention. So it is necessary to break it down. As Sukran was saying, that somebody who would bring the organization to a pace without burning up the maybe the balance which the brand has. Now, this is definitely something which is not maybe definitely a brand marketer would definitely know how to work around this, but he might not specialize into it. So guys who have been into analytics, who have been into maybe understanding consumer journeys, they spend a lot of time to understand at what level does a user drop off. If you as a consumer went to the add to cart page of maybe say Flipkart or Myntra, but did not purchase. Yeah. What was that one thing that made you drop off? And there's a huge analysis behind that.
Yeah.
So it's a cool term. It's a cool term that sets you apart and gets you a couple of pounds in pocket. But for sure, that's a part of normal brand analysis, I think.
Sorry, but I want to go back to Sukaran because I kind of let him off the hook a little easier there.
Oh, no.
What I wanted to ask was, if you look at your understanding of growth hacking, I think it's bang on. I don't think it is in opposition to whatever Akash is saying, but I just want to push you a little more about, let's say, brand building on one side and, you know, sales growth on the other. And we all say that brand building contributes to sales growth and the rest of it. But we know that in real life, okay, there's actual maramari, there's actual tension that happens, right, between... So what's your view on it? Why do you think it happens? Why do you think, what can be done to stop something like this? Because you've now shifted to the other side and you know that it's a stupid, futile thing.
So actually, before that, I want to add one small thing to Akash's point. I didn't want to interrupt him then. But I think one very important thing, especially when you're talking about McDonald's, was the fact that today, so much of marketing is happening online. And so many, one of the industries that has the easiest way to enter growth hacking are industries that are scalable, right? So, and which is the digital avenue. So I think that's why term today kind of shifted into the whole digital sphere. But he's absolutely right. Like, you know, you could be doing growth marketing or growth hacking for something that's sold online, that is for, let's say, fast food joint. Right? So, because when I look at the kind of things that people are doing, let's say at L'Oreal or at ITC, I see a lot of that, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wants a big customer base and they don't want to spend for it. That's the heart and soul of what they would want you to deliver any which way. And like you very rightly said, Siddharth, I think the only people I've ever had an argument or fought or wanted to hold by the collar in an organization are only salespeople, and they've done the same to me. So because marketing and sales are always at that, you know, at that opposing ends. And I've been very lucky to have been shifting between the two. So I was a regional manager for retail with L'Oreal, and then I moved back into marketing. So, you know, you see that this is what people sitting at the head office think is going to happen when they say something, and that's what's actually going to happen. Then I moved back into marketing with ITC as well. And you realize that, yes, marketing is supposed to bring people to the door, and therefore it is your job to get that base. And then, you know, sales is the one who has to convert it. And for the longest time, that is considered, that was considered good enough, right? I got you somebody at the door. But we have intelligent people on both sides of the spectrum now, and they will come and they'll tell you that, no, you got me a guy, but you didn't get me the right guy. Right. I was just studying about it just a few days ago about the quality of a lead, right? Like, you prioritize leads on the basis of, I was studying a case study where the organization decided certain leads would be given an actual person to follow up, and certain leads should just get an email and say that this is what we do. Would you be interested?
Right.
Now, for an organization that has a brick and mortar store and you have somebody walking in, we would fight and say you misreport, you know, footfall, for example. And so we'll install a machine that counts it because we send people through. And they'd be like, yeah, but you sent the wrong kind of person to us too. So I think that's a very important nuance of growth hacking, which again, and I completely agree with Akash, that there is so much data behind that. There's so much insight that goes and so much thinking to do. We were very lucky at ITC. At Will's, we run a loyalty program called Club ITC. Mm-hmm. And while I won't share the share of customers that came from, but a very huge share of our revenue base came from that Club ITC base. So we had a lot of data. Mm-hmm. And the sheer potential available in that data to be able to figure out who buys when, for what kind of occasion, and therefore who to be called for what kind of product launch. That for me is growth hacking. You know, you get the right people and you can do growing that base. So that's, I think that's the only way to also make sales happy, that you get the right people to the door.
That's amazing. I mean, yes, Akash, you wanted to say something?
No.
Okay, I heard. So
I was just too much into what Subhan was saying, and I went into that entire phase.
Okay, so let's get you back to reality, right? You did say something about acquisition and retention, right? Now, that's a bit like the brand building versus sales sort of thing, which is, I know that you said that you need to get the kind of customers that you can, you know, build a longer time relationship with. Right. It's great as long as you don't have the pressure of numbers down your neck.
Sure.
How do you deal with something like this?
Interesting question. So there's always a balance.
Yeah.
And that balance basically changes basis the requirement that the brand has.
Yeah.
Exactly mentioned. Like, I was just, that's why I was so glued. This is the exact scenario which Supran was explaining us, that how do you acquire a bunch of people, and they're basically they don't carry any worth if they're not able to convert. And like, let me give you a very quick example.
Yeah.
For example, I have an app, and on my app, 10% of the content is available for the viewers to watch for free.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of the content is basically subscribed. Now, if my goal is to get people on the app, maybe after, say, a month or two, I'll just be having people who just watch the free content, and they might just drop off. If I get half the number of people who came to watch the free content and convert them to watch the subscribed content, I'm absolutely in good profits.
Mm-hmm.
So that balance has to be maintained always. Like, your acquisition and retention go hand in hand. To give you a very basic, very, very basic percentage ratio for anybody to understand, brands generally go ahead with a 60-40 ratio. 60% of the spends generally go after acquisition, 40% after retargeting or retention to maintain the retention. And that helps you bring in a huge chunk of people, engage them into regular activities through your CRM, through your retargeting, through your campaigns, through your emailers, messages, maybe calling or something, and then you convert them into users. So it's always a balance is what I feel.
That's so interesting. Now, I wanted to maybe, so just for the listeners out there, I wanted to make it real for them. So I wanted to kind of understand how you guys would approach a growth hacking project, let's say. And so I'll give you an example, which maybe has got nothing to do with, let's say, your startup, Sukaran, or, you know, where you're working in the media field, and throw something at you and say, okay, so how will a person who knows growth hacking work their minds around a problem like this? How will they think, right? Because that is actually what is important and brings us to the heart of the matter. So let's say that you can take your call. There are many ed tech and gaming startups. Yeah.
Agreed.
I want you in your mind, any which one, ed tech or gaming. Yeah. And just say, okay, so I've been mandated with actually developing a growth hacking strategy for this. How would you approach this problem? How would you think about it? What would you do? And just talk us through the thinking.
If you don't mind, actually, because I'll probably give Akash some time to come up with an answer while telling you a completely unrelated story. But when we were having this last discussion,
you guys are playing me.
No, we would never. No, but, you know, when Akash was just talking about the quality of, like, you know, how can you convert someone? I was instantly transported about 4 or 5 years ago. I was in Goa, completely unplanned trip. And a few friends of mine and I, we are at a hotel and we say, hey, you know, we want a room. And they say the room is for 8,000 rupees. They're like, no, you know, we checked on Make My Trip. It's for 6,000 rupees. So the woman there at the reception, she's like, go ahead, book it then, right? I was like, are you serious? Like, I'm from the hospitality industry, right? So I am aware of the fact that there is this much cut that goes to the OTA. And I was like, what are you saying? Like, you know, I'll pay you directly, give me a better rate. She's like, no, you book it online. So I was like, fine. I booked it online, only to find that while I paid 6,000 on my credit card, she immediately turned around and showed me the screen and said, look, I got a meal for 7,000 rupees. So, and I was like, what just happened here, right? And you understand that this is what, and in the industry, they call it the burn, right? That to get massive acquisition and therefore, you know, get a big base. Yeah, they're burning, and I call it like hidden socialism, right? All the rich people and investors sitting in China having to pump their money back so we can go vacation, better hotels. And I see that and I realize that, you know, there, which is why I think it's very important what Akash was saying, that it's not just a term and there has to be this thought that goes behind it. Because if you just connect it to numbers, there are so many ways to deliver that, those numbers. And I would never become loyal to that app, right? There's so many people that try to acquire customers by just giving a coupon and say, yeah, you know, once they get, and they say that we got the space.
I think it's also trying to become an influencer nowadays. So building a brand, same shit, man. Same shit.
True, absolutely. And with that, I let now Akash talk on EdTech.
I'm going to take mobile gaming.
Okay. All right. Mobile gaming.
Yeah, so I'm definitely okay. Like, I would want to go ahead with mobile gaming first, but I would also want to speak on EdTech in the end a little bit.
Okay, all right.
So mobile gaming specifically, an industry which just maybe came out of nowhere in terms of specific, in the past 1.5, 2 years, this has just boomed. If I speak of mobile gaming, there have been multiple segments. There have been real money gaming. There has been a lot of fantasy sport around that. At a point in time, we just knew of Dream 11. Today, we have MPL, we have My Circle 11, and many various multiple. We have Ludo, we have Carom. Everything is on real money. Yeah. We have even normal games in mobile gaming where people engage in without maybe investing money. How growth hacking would ideally be taken in this scenario is, if I have an app, say, if I have an app which has, again, every app which you find today, which you install, the moment you're installing it on an app store, you get the option while installing it that it has in-app purchases. I don't think you would find any app right now which you would want to engage in on a daily basis will not have in-app purchases. That's exactly where the revenue comes from. To a brand. The brand does not earn money when you install the app. It does not earn money, a lot of money, when you see a specific ad. For example, if you're playing NFS and you have to watch a video, let's take PUBG as an example, a very well-known game. If you're playing PUBG, you watch a specific video, maybe of a specific phone, any brand. You watch the video, you get a couple of coins. The brand does not earn that way, but how it earns is basically put in money. Every time you invest in the game, let's take poker as an example. Every time you're putting some money in the pot, as a growth hacker, the system identifies you as a person who has the intent to invest the money. Mm-hmm. Now, it automatically identifies you and it differentiates you from the person who does not have the intent to maybe put in the money. Yeah. And every time, for example, you as a user, you're putting say 30 rupees on a daily basis for about say the next 1 month. Mm-hmm. You turn out to be a user who has extremely high lifetime value, who is going to get a lot of revenue to the brand. And they're going to segment you with other folks who are investing 30 rupees every day. The communication which comes out to you is going to be different from the communication that comes out to me if I'm putting 5 rupees every day. That is growth hack. You engage into communication practices, use programmatic, Google, Facebook, all together as channels to curate a consumer journey basis your own intent, which you don't identify. Now, I wouldn't know why I'm getting such a rich communication if I'm investing, say, 100 rupees every day. As a user, I wouldn't understand. But if I'm putting 10 bucks, I would get very normal communication. That's how growth hacking works. In mobile gaming, people cross-sell. There's a lot of cross-sell that happens in mobile gaming.
What you did was to identify a couple of insights that are there for that sector. And based on that, you ask yourself the core question as to, yaar, danda kidhar aata hai? Okay, and what happened? Actually understand and stream together the damn thing and then say, okay, how do I actually infiltrate it? So that's what I said. You were going to say something. As well.
Okay. Sorry.
So I'm not sure. Who are you asking right now?
Akash was going to actually talk. Tech, and then this is a strange interface. So when I think I'm looking at Akash, I'm looking at Sukaran.
you have just seen Dark on Netflix a couple of days back. So EdTech specifically. As an industry, I've handled a couple of brands in EdTech. Mm-hmm. And how EdTech has come up in terms of growth hacking or marketing has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. There are apps today which understand users on a specific, on a specific view. For example, if I stopped on a specific page for too long and I'm still scrolling on the same page, There is a mechanism to track that. Now, just understand how well can I target my audience? How well can I target my users if I understand their preference? Yeah. Today, speaking of AI, which Google, Facebook, programmatic use in terms of their campaigns, I would go back to communication again and again because I feel that is one major thing that drives the entire business.
So let me stop you there and ask you this question. Say, suppose Sukaran and I decide that we are going to start a course together.
Sure. Okay.
And now we want to get enough students to go for that course. Because, that shit is happening too.
Sure, yeah.
What advice would you give us as a growth hacker to make sure that we, succeed?
First of all, you are entering into a space which has already been dominated by something for free that is called YouTube.
Correct.
You have to make sure that your content, number one, has superb. Now, when I say content, for example,
currency, it's all going to be good, man.
Yeah, and you're getting us free consulting, so why not, right?
So for example, if my content, if I don't have much to play around the content, I'm going to curate an experience or change the way that content looks to the person. For example, if India got independence in 1947, this fact cannot be changed. It depends on me how I show this specific ad. If this is how your course is going to look, it depends on me on how I would want to show this ad in Tamil Nadu, how I would want to show this ad in UP, how I would want to show this ad in Gujarat. Now, see, my campaigns are running and I've got ample users who are glued to the course and are interested to go ahead and pursue your course and would want to consume the content. Once these guys are on your apps, there's a mechanism that tracks their activities in the apps with the help of an SDK, a software development kit. It helps you track on where your users are, how many times have they opened the app, how many times have they paid for something. And then again, as marketers, you would want to segment them into various pieces. And then you retarget them. That's how your retention is balanced along with their acquisition.
Okay. So you think retargeting is quite important in this case?
Absolutely. Any person who is coming to consume some content on your EdTech platform definitely is going to also go on Google, read more about it. He's going to go on YouTube. He's going to speak to his friends. He's going to refer your competitors. Okay. And at that point of time, it becomes important to you. It becomes important for you to keep him glued to your app. Because if he bounces off, it's just like cooking. For example, if I'm assuming you would cook a brilliant butter chicken at a specific place, if somebody is glued to the taste that you are offering them, irrespective of what facilities you have, irrespective of what ambience do you have, that person is going to come back to you again and again. It's all about curating experiences.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.